They had to, the grantees had to provide, or the wannabe grantees had to provide documentation for any catch matches and a plan for securing the remainder of the cash match. And they had to provide pretty elaborate methods for those in-kind resources. There was a possible 100 points possible in the as they, when they were scored. They were scored by a panel of three volunteers, volunteer reviewers. The volunteer reviewers are experts and lay people from throughout the community. And the leverage plan, as part of that 100 points, there, that was 25 points were possible for the leverage plan. And the staff scored the leverage plans based on a pretty complicated rubrics, and they cross-checked all the plans to make sure that they were all being scored similarly. The applicants could get a possible 6 bonus points for if the programs would be east serving children east of 82nd Avenue, and a possible 3 bonus points for culturally specific programs. And on June 4th, the allocation committee approved $2.5 million in funding. And again, the allocation committee is Commissioner Saltzman. We have Deborah Cafori from the Multnomah Commission. And we have Alyssa Kinney-Geyer. She's a city-appointed rep. Adrian Livingston is the county-appointed rep. And Ron Belts represents the Portland Business Alliance. And we awarded 9 grantees. One of them was we just have them right here with a short synopsis. Rosemary Anderson High School for an after-school program. The Library Foundation, they're raising a reader program. The Children's Relief Nursery, they're going to expand their services out in East Portland. Neighborhood House for a CASA START program for expansion for intensive case management for teenagers. Morrison Child and Family Services has a sexual abuse treatment program for children 4 to 18. Hacienda has a culturally specific program for housing development in North Portland. Peninsula Children's Center, we're going to give them some money for to do some quality enhancements for their staff. Janus Youth Programs has a program for homeless street youth and pregnant teens living on the streets. And SCI has a culturally specific program aimed at child abuse prevention and intervention. There are some conditions on the award. The applicants have a specified time period in which they have to raise that matching cash award, and they have to verify that money as well. And if the applicants are not successful in raising that money, those funds will be returned to the levy for purposes of reallocation. That's it. I'll take any questions if you have any. And we're in the process of writing those contracts.
If I may, I have 2 questions. I don't know if it's to you or Lisa or both. Welcome. One has to do with Bridges to Housing. And the county and our Bridges to Housing partners had some questions about their application and why they weren't successful. And I have a memo that documents where, in consultation with you, Lisa, or the team, they've been told how they might frame this differently. But I'm curious, since Bridges to Housing is a program which looks regionally at the housing equity issues and matches funding for housing and services for children, is there anything in the grant program which works against applicants that have a regional perspective as well as opposed to a Portland-centric perspective?
No, not at all. In fact, a lot of people that we fund serve much larger areas than just Portland. We can find, we ask them to track how many Portland kids they're serving in those cases, and then they can just do that in their reporting so we can assure that we're serving people within Portland with our funding. So that's not a problem, and there would be nothing that would count against them in their application for that perspective.
And I guess this is going to become more acute, I think, as we take up Sustainable Communities, which is next week, will be taking up, seeking authority for the council to authorize a grant to HUD for the Sustainable Communities Initiative, which is a regional planning effort. And it's looking at equity region-wide. And one thing that struck me is your bonus system gives points for east of 82nd, and that makes perfect sense from an equity point of view. But if you were to map out just hot spots of poverty and underserved areas, it isn't exclusively east of 82nd. And as we look more regionally in our planning, we're going to be trying to tackle the problem of poverty that's pushed to Beaverton as well as poverty that's being pushed to Gresham. So I just want to put a marker down to better understand whether the formula allows for a more regional equity analysis perspective for groups that are not just doing Portland work.
I mean, yeah, I would say that, like I said, it really doesn't count against people. As long as they can show that they can serve a significant number of people who live in Portland or children who live in Portland, then it wouldn't count against them in any way. So we can be a piece of funding, which is often how it works. We'd be a piece of an overall program that's got various funders that's working regionally in some cases. But we are paying for the Portland residents who are getting service, if that makes sense. So it really isn't a barrier in getting our funding at all, as long as they can show that they are serving, you know, a proportional amount of, you know, based on, let's say the funding of the program is $400,000 and they're serving a quarter of Portland people, and we fund a quarter of the program is usually how we would arrange that to make sure that, and then require that they report on the zip codes where people live who they're funding. So we make sure that we assure that those funds are actually going to Portland people. So it's really not a barrier, and I think that's great that those, you know, efforts on planning are going forward. I think that's really key.
Well, thank you, Lisa. They got $500,000 in 2007, and your team has been very generous with your time coaching them as to how they might fit within the criteria for the next round, because it's a hugely successful program where the funding they've gotten from the levy has also had great outcomes. So they're hoping to.
You're probably going to hear about something related to them shortly in the collaboration grant. So next time we'll talk about that.
Thank you very much.
So I've not heard of Rosemary Anderson High School before.
It's an alternative school in North Portland run by the Portland Opportunities Industrialization Center, which is POIC, you may have heard of. Joe McFerrin runs that organization, and they are an alternative high school within the Portland Alternative High School system.
I see.
Right near Jefferson. Near Jefferson High School.
Yeah, very close to Jefferson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very close to the community college.
Can you email me the more information on how you judge the success of the programs that you fund?
We have a whole rubric. I can send you both the application and the rubric because they make more sense together. That's how folks come in. We ask them to fill out these rubrics to analyze the applications and whether they meet the standards.
And that's prospectively, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's done. All the applications are scored, so they go. So the allocation committee goes into a meeting with a bunch of scores on a paper. Not all grants are awarded solely based on score. There may be recommendations not to fund something for a different reason, even though it got a high score.
After the fact.
After the applications are in, if that's what you mean.
After the money's been spent.
Do we check up and find out whether it was successfully spent?
People are talking at once. I'm not sure what's being said.
How do you judge that the investment has been successful?
Those are being tracked on an ongoing basis. And then when people apply for renewal of funds, these grants are not renewable because they're a leverage fund. But when they come to us for renewal in the regular grant cycles, then we're looking at all their stats. So we take a lot of stats on what people have done over the course of the
grant. How do you know that this allocation of money is successful?
Well, we get ongoing reporting. So people are reporting to us twice a year. We're looking at whether or not they choose outcomes to measure. So we're looking at whether they actually meet those outcomes. We look at all kinds of participation data to understand how much are people using the service. So the service might be a great idea, but if people can't really take advantage of it, how useful is it? So that's one other thing we look at. We look at are they delivering the amount of service that they thought they would deliver in the manner that they thought they would do? Because we are funding an application, which is on spec, right? So we want to make sure that they're doing it how they intend. So we're monitoring for all those things, and if there are problems or things aren't going well, then we're coming back to the committee and saying, I mean, we're working with the grantee first to try to improve the situation. If it can't be improved, then we're coming to the committee saying, we as staff are advising we cut this contract because it's not performing.
So if you could just email me some summaries and attachments, that'd be great.
Sure, no problem.
You.
Yeah, and I think just to add to that, I mean, as was said, these are prospective grants. The applicants really have to get back to us before the end of the year and demonstrate they've raised the matching funds before the final go-ahead. But
exactly. No contracts are written until they have raised the funds that they promised that they would raise in the application. So that's what we're checking before we actually write any contracts.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So this is an emergency to get the grants out the door, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone wish to testify on 1128? All right, Carla, can you please call the vote on 1128?
Saltzman?
Well, these are part of the children's levy, of the sum $10 to $15 million a year that gets invested in proven programs This is the component that we want to not only invest in proven programs, but to also leverage private dollars so that we can stretch our public dollars even further to help kids. This is something that is a challenge in this fundraising climate. It's not easy for these organizations to necessarily raise the match or obtain the match from a foundation. But we, I think we, the allocation committee and the staff labored long and hard over these, and I think we've chosen ones that we feel not only provide demonstrable results that improve the lives of our children, but have the best chance of garnering the matching funds that are necessary to really leverage the public dollars for the utmost. So, and if not, we'll be back before the end of the year to present you with a different slate. But with that, I'm pleased to, I want to thank the staff for their hard work. Amy True in my office, and pleased to vote aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, it's important to remember this used to be called the Children's Investment Fund, and indeed it is an investment in Portland's children. And thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for your leadership on this, hearing how all the different grants are put together, and this leverage grant is certainly a great component of this particular grant program. But you had the foresight to have asked the voters to pass this before the crash in the recession. I'm so glad that we have this program now that's helping so many people who are struggling in this economy. And I thank the taxpayers of Portland who are paying for this, and it is indeed an investment in all of our children, because we want all of our children to be able to look after us when we get even older, at least I do. Commissioner Leonard, I think you may have been on vacation when we had the memorial ceremony for Billy Moore, who is a graduate of Rosemary Anderson High School, and that was remarkably moving. And I don't know whether Billy was involved in the after-school program, but I know from my son's experience, I mentioned during the consent agenda that he's tutoring with the Open Meadows Step Up program at Marshall High School. And so I get to listen to the other end of some of the programs that the city and the mayor in particular and Commissioner Saltzman have championed of the day-to-day of working with 10 students after school and doing the Saturday programs and individual tutors looking to make sure that kids are on track, and if they're not, pointing that out to the student and to the parents and helping them get those grades and get their work in. It's an amazing set of programs that this funds, and which some of the other investments that the City of Portland and our taxpayers are investing in, and it's proving results. Both at Rosemary Anderson High School, Marshall met this annual yearly progress this year, which was very exciting for everybody, both at the regular school and at Open Meadow. And we are succeeding. So I appreciate also the mayor's questions, making sure that the citizens who are watching this know that we are indeed tracking. We're not throwing money at programs and hoping for the best. We're making sure that the money is well spent and used wisely. So thank you very much. Good job. Aye.
Fish?
Well, first, I just want to note, Commissioner Leonard, when Commissioner Fritz said you may have been on vacation, she was, of course, alluding to the fact that, according to the newspaper today, she had a perfect attendance, and that cannot be said of the other four members of the council. But
I could have also been at the bathroom. A distinct possibility.
I very much appreciate the grantees that are listed, and I must say, as I listen to and learn more about the program and the funding, one thing that does occur to me is that we at the city fund a number of these grantees through different pots of money. Among the groups that we're passing on today receive money from Economic Opportunities Initiative, which is now at PDC, or from the Portland Housing Bureau, or from Portland Parks and Rec, or through our partners like the Housing Authority of Portland. And I don't know whether we have this capacity, but I think it would be useful at some point to be able to step back and look at all the funds from different sources that we give to our nonprofit partners. Because frankly, I think that is helpful in making judgments on the whole range of funding to know what funds they're getting from different pots. And I think it may be possible for us to begin to connect those dots. And I think it would be very helpful to us when we're making decisions about scarce resources to know that you've either already invested or proposing to invest, or you've invested and you haven't gotten a great outcome, and help us along the way. So I think there's a way to integrate this funding program more dynamically into other funding we do at the city and enhance both. But that said, thank you for an excellent presentation. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for your leadership on this issue. You created this effort and have sustained it to the benefit of, I have to imagine, hundreds of thousands of kids and families. And you've made a tangible difference in people's lives. And I know I speak for a lot of people when I express gratitude for that leadership and persistence. Happy to support this and look forward to seeing the results. This is exciting. Aye. So approved, and we are adjourned. This time I mean it.